Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on the main card fighter to win. That's code FANRUN in all caps. For a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook, must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
All right, here we go. 5 o'clock. It is Quentin time on the dial, and we are here getting you ready for the Tennessee-Arkansas game coming up in just about an hour and a half. But first, over to GP3 with your Top 5 at 5.
Thank you, Rick. And just to go off what you said, that's number one. Baseball, okay. An hour and a half from now.
Yeah, man.
Tennessee-Arkansas.
I think some of my nervousness is starting to turn into full-bred excitement.
Yeah, that's what I'm at. I'm just excited, and I'm ready for it to get here.
Now I'm still nervous.
Yeah, a little bit.
See, I won't become nervous until, like, if we lose the first two come Sunday, then I'll be nervous. But with it being baseball, I just...
Now, I'll say this. I have a little bit more confidence if we can't take this first game. Because, again, even against the Vanderbilt series, Tennessee showed that they do have the composure, that they do have the focus to come back and really put together a strong game on Saturday. But that's the type of situation where we need the team to stretch that out until Sunday as well. So if we lose today, don't panic. It's not all out the window because Tennessee has showed that they can rebound well, but obviously tonight is going to be massive to get that done.
I wonder what it would be like if they saved Dallas for like a – Saturday or Sunday start, just because every team's throwing their ace on Friday.
Right.
And what we heard from Logan in the first hour, they don't even have a starter on Sunday. If we pitched our ace against a bullpen game, I mean.
Now that would be a risky move, but you got to think if. Now that would be a really interesting move, say if Tennessee wasn't locked into kind of where they are in the hierarchy of things. If you really needed a late season push, and this was one of the only times to do so, then you probably would want to go a little bit more high risk, high reward. Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen on those first and second games, but you feel like you really have an advantage in game three if you can just pick up one of those two on the way. Obviously, that's not what we're going to do. Chad Dallas is hitting the mound tonight, but I like your thinking. That's fascinating.
Right, number two, Tennessee baseball isn't the only team hitting the diamond today. Lady Vol softball is getting set to play Alabama, I believe, here in about 25 minutes. They had a a 1-0 victory over Arkansas yesterday. There's some good mojo there. They were able to defeat one of the top-ranked Arkansas teams in the softball
division. So what's going on with them right now? They seem to have slid back to being kind of a middle-tier SEC team. What's the deal on that?
Well, they beat A&M on Wednesday, if I'm looking here at the schedule right, which was huge. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody thought we were going to win that game. And then you come back, you beat Arkansas one day later. A little bit of, like you said, hopefully some good juju on its way to the men's program as well. But I don't think we were supposed to win that first game, were we?
No, I don't think so. And this is a semifinal game against Alabama. And so if they win that, they will go on to play in the SEC championship game.
It's good stuff right there. Well, maybe we were. I'm looking at back at the records of Texas A&M and Tennessee. And Tennessee's got a much better record. But Ivy Davis hit that walk-off double in that first game. But either way, congrats to the softball team. Make it happen.
All right, number three. Just when you thought Antonio Brown was free and clear of all drama, he's now being sued once again for an altercation he had for assault and battery with a moving truck driver last January.
Who is this?
Antonio Brown.
Okay. Oh, I remember this. Yeah. This was right before he got put on to – or was this after he got put on?
I think this was right before.
Okay, that's what I think too, because that was kind of the last big thing that – a lot of people are like, hey, could this be the final nail in the coffin until Tom Brady says, well, I'll put him under my wings and it'll all be good.
Yeah, the man suing Antonio Brown and Anton Tumanov is seeking $30,000 in damages.
Interesting.
It's pennies for Antonio Brown.
Yeah, he needs to go ahead and pay that out and just get it behind him.
He probably made triple that with his one touchdown in the Super Bowl alone, so... Yeah, like Bear said, probably take care of that so you can just run it back with the Buccaneers with the same old team. It's going to be wild.
All right, number four, the Brooklyn Nets are set to have their big three play in a game for only the eighth time this season. This will come tomorrow against the Chicago Bulls, and it'll be the first time since February 13th that Durant, Harden, and Kyrie Irving have all played in the game together.
Let's talk about the Nets. Part of me says that there's no way that anybody's going to beat them in the NBA playoffs this year. The other part of me says that they have three wild characters on that team. Can they all work together with all these games in a row, with everything that's on the line? There is some drama in that locker room. There's no doubt about it, but it's also looking at three of the greatest basketball players on the planet today. I wouldn't be surprised if they dominated their way to the championship, and I don't know if I'd be surprised if they lost in the first round. That would be very surprising, but just kind of thinking to exactly what you said, the fact that this will only be their eighth game played together before the playoffs, that would be the unsurprising
right.
part.
And then they got to stay healthy throughout the playoffs, something they haven't been able to do so far.
No, they have not been able to do that at all. There's a lot of people who need to get healthy. The Lakers need to get healthy. The Celtics would like to get healthy. The Nets would like to get healthy. The Mavericks would like to get healthy.
Well, the Celtics lost one of their best players for the rest of the year.
Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, so.
That's a big one. Looking at, real quick, well, actually, go ahead. We'll get into those NBA standings later as the NBA season's about to wrap up. We're about to know who is in the play-in tournament, who is in the playoffs. We'll save that for a little bit later on. Go ahead.
All right, number five, last one. A woman in Texas is facing felony charges for forgetting to return a Sabrina the Teenage Witch VHS from nearly 20 years ago.
Whoa.
Do what now?
Whoa.
There's yes.
No.
Say that again.
Who is charging her with that?
A woman in Texas is being faced with felony charges for forgetting to return a Sabrina the Teenage Witch VHS to a local video rental store 20 years ago.
Felony?
Felony charges. It says that it's felony or embezzlement is what they...
Embezzlement?
Yeah.
She'll get out of that. That's
for
silly.
A Sabrina the Teenage Witch VHS?
And she found out after she got married, she went to go change her license to her new name, and she found out that she had a warrant for her arrest in her former state of Oklahoma.
What?
And when she called to find out what the reasoning was, they told her that it was for felony embezzlement, and she said that her heart sank, had no idea what it was about.
Right.
And then when they told her what it was, like, went into more detail, I don't even watch that show. I've never seen that show in my life. And she said, but it makes sense now. Because a lot of times throughout her life, she's been fired from different places and not gotten interviews back. Because when they pull up her record, it just says that she has a warrant for...
Felony warrant for embezzlement.
Yeah.
So she's gone through her whole life so far with this under, well, I guess just hanging over her like a dark rain cloud, and she's never even noticed.
Yeah, and it goes on to say, too, that this isn't an uncommon occurrence either, that this has happened to several people where they've forgotten to return old VHS or DVDs.
I've seen them within the past 5 years when I've opened up boxes in storage.
Just like a Blockbuster case lying around?
Yeah.
Got to go check your record, Bear. Make sure you don't have a warrant
what
out.
Was that? What was that one?
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, it's got Vincent D'Onofrio and Jennifer Lopez in it. It's freaky. The Cell.
Oh, man. I love Vincent. I think he's an amazing actor.
I never even saw the whole movie. It freaked me out and I turned it off.
What is it called? The Cell?
Yeah. Oh, it's god awful.
The Cell.
He plays a serial killer.
Oh,
and
my.
And he's in a coma, and they somehow put Jennifer Lopez inside his mind.
Vince Vaughn is in it.
Yeah, and it is freaky.
Over under 40% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Under.
Now, I've been doing this thing where I've been watching, it has to be under 30. But I've been watching horrendous movies. Horrendous movies. Yeah.
That is fantastic. Okay, so yeah, what's been on your list?
The Postman with Kevin Costner. Incredible. Okay. That's a fantastic movie. What was that one I was watching the other night when Cody called? He was stunned I was watching it. What was it?
The Postman has an 8%.
Oh, and it's one of his greatest movies, man. I'm telling you. I mean, it really is.
Years after a major global conflict has left the United States in dystopian disarray, a nomadic traveler becomes known as the Postman, wandering through towns in the Northwest delivering old mail. What is intriguing about that story?
It was just a great movie. Here's one that was worse than that.
Obstacles?
Driven with Sylvester Stallone.
I think I've seen that one.
That was 14% on the tomato meter.
Driven.
Oh, I thought it was called the thermometer or something like that.
A thermometer?
Thermometer.
Tomato meter.
Okay, I'm seeing that right here. So what, 2001? It's like a racing movie?
Oh, it was horrible.
Wow. Very interesting.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, though. You look through some of those worst movie evers because you can really find some. But even going back to that.
King Ralph. That's my all-time one of my all-time favorite movies. And it's got like a 2 or something. Look that one up.
There's a couple of movies, though, that I don't know how Spaceballs. We just talked about that movie at the beginning of the week. That
movie's horrible.
That surely has a terrible rating.
No, I think it's got a pretty good one if you look it up.
Oh, my God. 7.1 out of 10 on the International Movie Database.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that one?
Yeah, people like Russell that like it. It's a horrible movie.
56. That's it on Rotten Tomatoes. So it's out of your range for the bad movies that you're into, but it'll work. So looking back for a quick second, we're going to get back into the Tennessee baseball conversation coming up soon. By the way, that is the top 5 of 5. Great work all around. Fantastic job, GP3. But looking at going back to one of the topics that you had mentioned with the Nets, right, looking at the NBA playoff standings, we're almost there. We are almost to the playoff time, and looking at the standings right now, we're going to have the play-in tournaments, of course, where the last 4 teams in the, I guess, who make the cut, so 7 through 10, they're going to have the chance to play each other to figure out who those 7 and 8 seeds are going to be. Right now, as things stand, the play-in tournament for the Eastern Conference Division, you got the Boston Celtics, Charlotte Hornets, Indiana Pacers, and the Washington Wizards. On the flip side of things, in the Western Conference, your 4 teams so far in the play-in tournament, although you could still have a little bit of movement. Bear, the Lakers are a half game back of the Portland Trailblazers to get inside of the play-in tournament. So both of those teams are going to be duking it out right now, and even the Mavericks, 1 game within them as well. But the 4 who are in the Western Conference, you got the Los Angeles Lakers, the Golden State Warriors, the Memphis Grizzlies, and the San Antonio Spurs. I'm just really interested to see if the Lakers are going to make it. Well, I guess if they're going to make it out of the play-in tournament.
It's going to be tough, especially if they're not healthy.
Who is their, let's see, who's remaining in their schedule?
And they're going to have to go up against Golden State in that first matchup.
Golden State looks like a team that could just absolutely blow past any team in the play-in tournament the way that Steph Curry's playing.
And then whoever, if they stay the 7 or 8 seed, if they lose that first game, then they play the winner of the 9-10 seed. So I definitely think they could beat either Memphis or San Antonio, but on the same hand, I could also see them losing if they're not healthy.
Seeing who losing?
The Lakers.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're such a weird team that they do need their stars, right? We've certainly seen that throughout the way that things are going. And the Lakers have been abysmal of late. They lost 3, then they won 1, then they lost 3 in a row. Won another, lost 2. Now, granted, they've been on a 3-game win streak to close out the season up until current time, which they've desperately needed to fight out of the play-in tournament a little bit. But Bear, your Lakers. Your Lakers and your LeBron, your AD.
Yeah.
I know you're not really claiming them right now, are you?
I don't claim LeBron. Okay. I'd gladly claim Anthony Davis.
That doesn't make... Why?
Because Anthony Davis,
like I'm not a big LeBron fan.
Isn't an obnoxious prima donna.
Didn't he force his way out of New Orleans? Isn't that kind of what?
Who?
Anthony Davis.
Sure, he did. He wanted a ring.
You're saying if you don't like LeBron, you probably wouldn't like Anthony Davis either, right? Like not like well, you like Anthony Davis, so you should like LeBron as well. You're saying the opposite way, kind of. Hey, they're both in the same kind of category, if that's right. The way you're looking at it. A little bit of a diva player to an extent.
He's not in the same category as LeBron.
LeBron's done some crazy things in the past few weeks, in the past few days as well. But I don't see any way. Somebody mentioned this on something that we were listening to the other day, but will the NBA and the officials, everybody involved, will they do what they can to make sure that LeBron and the Lakers come out of the play-in tournament? Do you believe in that kind of stuff? Do you buy into that? Do you buy into that professional sports, they want certain teams and they maybe can make a little bit of room to make that happen?
I do think certain teams, certain players get preferential treatment. That's the way it's always been.
Sure.
I don't know if they'll go out of their way to put him in. But I do think he'll get the whistle. I mean, if he's playing, he's gonna get a soft whistle. But yeah. I don't see them, especially in that first game against Golden State, either of those two teams being in is gonna draw ratings. The question is, who draws more, Steph Curry or LeBron James? How old is he? 37.
He's up there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would argue Steph Curry probably brings more viewers than LeBron James does right now.
I don't know.
So Steph Curry has such a great grip on the youth, I think, with the youth movement, because all the kids out there, right? Yeah. If you got a kid and they're playing basketball right now, they want to be like Steph Curry, right? They want to be shooting threes from all over the place. They want
Absolutely.
To score 40, 50 points. So I think that factors in. But what about the fact that the Warriors just haven't been good in a couple years, right? You don't have the Splash Brothers. You don't have Kevin Durant on that team. So how does that kind of affect things? Because I totally agree, right? I actually think Steph Curry is a bigger draw, typically. Maybe not right now because of everything standing, but I would love nothing more than to see the Warriors be able to wipe them out of the tournament. I would like a tournament without LeBron. See how different it is. See what happens. But obviously, it's probably not.
2 years ago when
Lakers. They were out.
Yeah, they didn't even come close.
I didn't even think about that.
Because I remember LeBron tweeted out that he was going playoff mode like a month before the season ended, and that's when he turns off social media, and then they just still played like ass the rest of the way.
Yeah, that is true. Man, I forgot about that. It's a good call. Guys, we still got a ton to get into coming up in the show today. And by the way, phone lines are wide open. 865-546-8200 if you want to call into the show as we get you ready for the Tennessee series tonight against Arkansas. Chad Dallas on the mound. Can't wait for that. But one of the guys that we've been talking about a lot lately, and I want to keep talking about throughout the hour today, is Liam Spence. I really don't know if people are understanding how great he has been this season. I think we all know that he's a big name, but, you know, of course, Tennessee's got a couple big names. You got a Max Ferguson. You got an Evan Russell who can boom the ball all the way down to Chattanooga if he wants. But if you really want to talk about the guy who has been the star of Tennessee's lineup so far, it truly has been Liam Spence. And I think that's going to be a guy that Tennessee is going to rely on consistently throughout this weekend with whatever they're going to be able to do. And I thought that Logan really had an interesting point back when we had him on for the interview there in the first hour. Arkansas throwing out a lefty tonight. And this is really one of their only kind of projected studs who is on the starting roster. But he got a lefty, so he said that he was really looking to Tennessee's right-handed batters to try to put the ball in play today. So that's totally something that I'm looking forward to, or I guess looking for in the game. How can Tennessee's righties do? Are they going to provide the spark that Tennessee needs early in the game? Because that's the other thing we've talked about. Do not let Arkansas hit the bullpen with a lead. You're in trouble if you do.
Yeah. I mean, whoever can get there is in the catbird seat.
Yeah.
So it'll be really interesting. This is going to be the hottest hitting team that we faced all year.
And it's also a team that gets on base they're via the walk.
Very similar to us.
Very similar, yeah.
Very patient in the box. They're going to make your pitcher throw pitches and try and get into your bullpen and wreak havoc on it. So we've got our work cut out for us.
We do. We do. No doubt about it. But we're going to keep talking about this game a little bit, see what other kind of stories we can fire off here on a Friday afternoon. Hey, it's quitting time. You are off the clock. You are getting ready for the Tennessee-Arkansas game, and we are too. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Keep going. Sing it.
Nah.
Come on.
Nah.
You got pipes, Bear. Pipes. We just talked about that a couple days ago, right? If we were to start a band?
Yeah.
With the four of us.
I would not be the singer.
That's true.
I don't know who it would be.
Definitely
not
me.
Billy Powell over there on the keys.
Who?
No.
It's his new nickname, Billy Powell.
Billy Powell.
I've actually been working Powell on Panther? Teaching myself the banjo, so that's what I've been.
The banjo?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What even goes into that? That's got to be... I feel like the banjo is harder than the guitar. Do you already know the guitar?
No, I don't know how to play any instruments. It was during quarantine. I just was like...
You just picked up a banjo?
Yeah, I went and got a banjo for like $250,
Oh, my God.
Think,
you didn't even have one?
No.
This is amazing. How can you play a Rocky Top?
Not yet. I'm working on it. It's pretty difficult.
Is that like an advanced song pretty much? Okay, I can imagine that. All right, the banjo. What is an obscure instrument you play? Send me a tweet. I'd like to know. GP3 has the banjo. Barry, you have any instruments that you've played throughout your days? Obscure?
A didgeridoo.
A what? I'm sorry.
Just kidding.
A didgeridoo?
A didgeridoo. No.
A what? Is that the drum that you sit on?
No, it's
what is that thing?
It's a wind instrument that the Aboriginal people of Australia in the outback.
Oh wow!
It's like this.
We have some international
like
flavor.
Certain kind of wood, and then these termites eat the inside of it out, and they're incredibly hard to play.
Oh,
you'd know
okay,
if
yeah,
you play.
I have seen these.
Wow.
All right, so that's...
Yeah, that noise?
Yes.
Yeah. But to play one, you have to be able to do what's called circular breathing.
Circular breathing.
It's where you are able to inhale through your nose while you're also exhaling through your mouth. Hence the term circular.
I don't even want to try that right now. I feel like I'd...
Like Kenny G can circular breathe. That's why he can hold a note out forever.
So breathe in while breathing out at the same time?
You inhale through your nose and able to exhale through your mouth.
That has got to be one of the most impressive musical things that you can possibly do out there, right?
I've only met one guy that could do it.
Wow.
And he could play a didgeridoo.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Which if you're in a room with like with a real one... And somebody really knows what they're doing with
it. Can you put multiple together?
Well, no, it's just, it's crazy to sit and listen to. Like, vibrate your ears.
Cody Conrad on Twitter says, I'm right there with GP3. I have a banjo. I'm trying to learn Rocky Top, but I can vouch it's pretty darn difficult.
Yeah, it's hard.
Did you have to, what was the easiest song you learned?
Yankee Doodle. I mean, that's pretty easy. It's just like one, not a chord, because you don't really have chords and with the banjo, but Yankee Doodle is a pretty easy one.
I couldn't figure out a banjo.
What is this? The jaw harp?
The jaw harp.
Oh, yeah.
What
I've
is that?
Seen those.
We got a tweet in from Foster. Who says he can play the jaw harp? I don't even know what that is.
I'm trying to think of how the noise makes some kind of like you like put it in your mouth.
It's actually
like,
pretty accurate.
Do it again.
Hold on, man.
I'd love to have a segment where we just go through different instruments.
What, me demonstrate them with my mouth?
And we get the very obscure sounds that come from Bear.
What do the bagpipes sound like, Bear?
I can't do that.
That was a setup.
Now those are fun to... I was at a wedding. One of my best friends got married up in Virginia, an old childhood friend of mine. And he really likes bagpipes. So he had bagpipe players at his wedding. And it was actually really, really cool.
Wow.
They're loud.
Shout out to our audience. Very musically gifted, apparently, with obscure instruments. That is pretty darn cool. Wow. Interesting. All right, guys. So I talked about this at the end of the last segment, and I want to bring it back up to right now. GP3 and I were talking about it a little bit during the break, but I really believe this to be true. I really believe that our guy, Liam Spence, maybe not even has got kind of the recognition that I think he deserves, right? Because he truly has been a force of nature this season so far. as he has been tearing up the SEC, tearing up non-conference play left and right. This is a guy who is no doubtably likely up for player of the year. Definitely in the SEC player of the year conversation, but we are talking about a guy who is playing that well on a national level. This is a guy who's hitting 389 this season so far. That bumps up to over 400 when it comes to SEC play. Which, how many guys are like that? How many guys have a better record, or a better batting average in SEC play than they do in just the season overall? When you play some of these other teams like a Tennessee Tech or a Lipscomb kind of mixed in, where hopefully some of the team can raise their average a little bit, but not Liam Spence. He has just been tremendous all season long, and especially when it comes down to crunch time.
And what I noticed too when I went to the Vanderbilt series, yeah, or the Vanderbilt game, he didn't have a hit in that game. Not many of our guys did. But the thing that sticks out with him is even if he's in a bit of a hitting slump, he still finds ways to get on base. He can work the count and drive. Not only does that help him get on base, it drives up the pitcher's pitch count. He just does whatever it takes to get on base. It's like what Billy Bean said in Moneyball. Just get on base.
Yeah. Doesn't matter how you do it, right? That's exactly right. And even going back to, following up on that, get this stat. Put this in your brain and keep it somewhere important. Liam Spence, this comes from utsports.com. Liam Spence has reached base in 49 straight games, dating back to last season. That means this season has been a breeze as he's gotten on base every single game of the season, plus some a little bit last year, which is the longest active streak among NCAA Division I players. Look, that's why we say he is up for a national award, right? Not just in the conference. This is a guy that truly has been one of the staples for Tennessee, even if he necessarily hasn't had the big numbers or some of the big moments. Just kind of coming to the top of my head, you can obviously think of Evan Russell, how much he has taken this city by storm this year. I mean, he's basically put himself in the upper echelon of University of Tennessee athletes right now, right, in terms of fan favorites. Because when that guy goes up to the plate, you're sending everybody in the outfield three steps backwards, right?
Yeah, he cemented his legacy against Vanderbilt and on that Saturday game.
No doubt.
I mean, I get goosebumps just going back thinking about that hit or the grand slam in that game. I don't know. It's hard to explain. He's definitely up there. And just all athletes, like you said, on campus right now.
Yeah.
Not just baseball.
And how about even going back to what we talked about with Vitello right here on The Drive during his interview on Wednesday. He talked about how this team is going to need a lot of composure and a lot of focus throughout the entire weekend. And then after he did that, he specifically went back and talked about one story in particular, including Evan Russell and that grand slam. In case you missed that interview with Vitello, or in case you just want to hear the story again, basically, before Evan Russell stepped up to the plate when the bases were loaded, there was something that kind of went on down by the base when Luke Lipsius was making his way to first base, setting up the bases. Evan Russell was kind of walking up to the plate, but that small delay allowed one important thing to happen, and it allowed him to kind of soak up the moment when he was not in the batter's box. Sometimes in those moments, you kind of walk up to the plate, you're immediately in the box, and you're kind of taking in the moment, taking in the crowd, surveying and seeing that, hey, this situation that's at hand, this is one of the biggest situations we could possibly have. Tony Vitello was saying that the fact that he was able to kind of calm himself a little bit, right, while he was not in the batter's box, so he could step in then and be in full control, be fully focused, be fully composed, that's the reason why he was able to step up to the plate and deliver a grand slam of just unbelievable epic proportion. So that's what Tennessee's going to need this weekend. They're going to need that same level of control and commitment and composure. There's no question. Look, we're going to have a more rowdy atmosphere, and while we know that that does help the team, we also know that, hey, yeah, that's a huge moment, right? The
yeah.
kids are going to be walking in the series never having a game so far this season where they've had as much noise at the stadium. I absolutely want that to happen because I want the players to feed off of that. But that's why Vitello has been just consistently hammering this down through all of his appearances this week. Tennessee is walking into new territory, even if they've already been in a top five matchup this year. They're walking into their own stadium. It's going to be wild. You cannot let the moment slip from you just because of how exciting it is. You know what I mean? You got
number one coming in.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, look, we going back a second, we know that Evan Russell's a big name. We know that Max Ferguson is a guy who has certainly made some headlines as of late with a couple big home, multi-home run games and just has been a guy. Jake Rucker has been doing really well lately. I guess looking at, where is it? I just had it. Looking at some of the other players on the team, look, Tennessee is really coming into the series hot. But it all goes back to Liam Spence. He really has been the glue among the whole team. And if there's one guy to watch out for, I would say it's him and Evan Russell this weekend. We know that Tennessee is going to need the long ball. That'll get you runs quick. We know that Tennessee can load the bases in a quick manner when they want to. So those are all the things I'm looking forward to. I think Tennessee is going to need to score quickly, and they're going to need to score in bunches.
They're going to have to take advantage of the runners in scoring position opportunities they get, because that's the one thing I think they've lacked the most throughout SEC play, is getting the runners on but failing to get them in.
We have left the bags loaded, or just ducks on the pond, if you will, too many times throughout the back half of this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, A, that is a testament to how good you have been at getting your players on base. But, man, what are they doing if you got to move in from second base, right? If you get three outs, you got a guy in second, oh, well. That is absolutely, I'm so glad you brought that up. It's really an area that Tennessee is going to need to focus on. And again, that's why scoring in bunches is going to be a thing that you see from both teams. You know, we saw in that last game that Tennessee had, I believe, versus Tennessee Tech.
Yeah.
I think they scored, what, four runs in the first frame. And then they scored one, 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 yep. one, 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 and so on and so forth. I don't think that's necessarily going to be the same type of game that you see with Tennessee throughout this weekend. I think this is going to be a lot more of a score in bunches, score via the long ball. And that's what Tennessee is going to have to do. You want to put a four spot on Arkansas. You want to put a three or a five spot on them because, again, just do not let them get to the back half of the game with a lead. I think that's really important for Tennessee.
Yeah, we're going to have to score in bunches this weekend.
Just got to take advantage of every opportunity you get. Great teams take advantage of those moments. And if you want to cement yourself as one of the best, if not the best team in the league, in the SEC, then that's what you got to do. You got to take advantage of it. You got to score. These aren't going to be any 2-1, 1-0 type ball games. I see pretty much all three of these going 8-5, 9-7 type deal. I think all three games will be high scoring.
I mean, Arkansas, when they, you've seen, go look at some of their scores. I mean, the game they had with Ole Miss, that one ended up like a football score.
I know they had a game last weekend that they won 1-0, or maybe that was the midweek game. I don't know. I know they did have one where they won 1-0.
They either have fairly high-scoring games or it is a very low-scoring game across both, right? Mm-hmm. There's not as many kind of, 4-3 or a 5-3 or something like that. Looking back at their schedule, it is a lot of 13-9, 4-0, 7-3, 9-3, 11-4. And then you might have a 2-0 mixed in there as well. But even looking at all their wins in recent games, this is the score. These are the numbers that Arkansas has been winning with: 13, 4, 4, 6, 7, 9, 11, 7, 11, 6, 9, 8. And that's all in a streak.
And I think you brought it up earlier in the week that Tennessee scored at least 10 runs in 5 of their past 7 games, I think is what it was.
So as far as the rankings go, these are the two best hitting teams in the league, right?
I don't know if we are.
Oh, I do have that.
If we're up there, or if Vanderbilt's ahead.
So which statistic do you want to know about, Bear?
Home runs.
Okay, looking at the home runs category for both teams right here, and these numbers come from Callum Vall on Twitter. If I can go back and find it in time. Somebody stall for me real quick.
Oh, okay. You looking for him?
If I had to guess, I would. I don't think we're.
I think we're both. I think we're 1-2.
I thought there was another team that was just like not a great team, but they were just a home run factory.
All right, here we go. Got it. So NCAA rankings, and you want to know about what? Home runs?
Home runs, hits.
Arkansas is second in the nation in home runs with 79. Tennessee is 11th with 65. But if you remember correctly, a lot of our home runs have been coming in the second half of this season.
Right.
We've been a much better power-hitting team in the back half of the season than we have been in the early half of the season. What about walks? Well, UT is second and Arkansas is third.
Who's one?
It's a good question. I actually don't have that, unfortunately. I only have these two teams in comparison.
Oh, okay.
When you were looking at hits, UT is third and Arkansas is 44th.
Ooh.
That's a big, drastic difference. Tennessee has 50 more hits on the season than Arkansas has. Look, Arkansas can be a big, powerful team at the plate. We just saw that as in home runs. They are second in the nation, but they are far better at the long ball than they are at just
playing small ball.
Yeah, playing small ball, exactly. That's an area that Tennessee needs to take advantage of. Now, I know it's a lot harder than just to say, don't give up a home run, right? But if you can kind of put Arkansas in those situations, that should be good. Hey, gentlemen, we only got one more segment left in the show. And you know what that means? When we got one more segment left in the show, that means you're only going to be 30 minutes away from game time when we are done with it. So let's go ahead and do this. We'll take our final break of the show right here, jump back on the other side, get together our final few thoughts on this Tennessee-Arkansas series, get you ready for this first pitch. I cannot wait. I won't waste any more time. Let's get to the commercial and get back. You're listening to The Drive.
The Drive.
All right, fellas, here we go. It's about that time of the show where we got one segment left on the menu for you, and then we're kicking it over. You're only going to be half an hour away from this Tennessee game. Boy, I can't wait.
It's been a while since I've heard Rocky Top and, like, been excited for what's coming next.
My, oh, my, I cannot wait for this. Crank it. Peyton Manning tossing out the first pitch at the game tonight. That'll get the crowd fired the heck up. Looking back at some of these, finishing out some of these comparisons in the between the two teams coming up. So batting average, who do you think has a better average, Tennessee or Arkansas as a team?
Tennessee.
You would be correct by 20 whole places as well.
20 whole places.
So Tennessee is 68th and Arkansas is 88th. What about doubles? UT ranks third, and Arkansas ranks 91st.
In the country?
Yes.
We hit a lot of doubles, huh?
Yes, we do. 103 so far this season. That's an absurd number. And triples, Tennessee had ranked 62nd, Arkansas ranked 88th. Look, you can see a little bit of a common trend here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas is very good at the long ball. We know that they're better at Tennessee than that, barely. And I would say, even if you looked at the second half stats, I wonder how much that is actually a little bit closer. But, man, I'll tell you, that's the path to victory that I see. If Tennessee can play their game, right, which we know what that is,
mm-hmm.
We know that's using all the bags on the field. We know that's getting on base via walks. We know that's loading up the bags by doubles and by singles, and
right.
Then you can come in and have a guy like Evan Russell come in and bring them all in, or Max Ferguson. That's the kind of offense that Tennessee plays. And I'll be honest, thinking about this more and more, I'm seeing this shaping up in a good direction for Tennessee again, as long as you're not necessarily getting to the deep part of their pen.
I don't see why we can't win this series. I think everybody just sees that one beside Arkansas's name, excuse me, and just wants to, like, kind of to cower. They know what's happened to Tennessee sports in the past. Every time something seems like it's too good to be true,
yeah,
you know, it usually comes crumbling down. I don't see that with this team. I don't think Vitello is like the coaches we've had in the past. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to get his team hyped up. He's going to have them ready to play, and the last thing they're going to be looking at is the number one beside Arkansas's team or name on the
screen.
They're
not scared.
Yeah, they're not afraid. They're not scared
of that at all.
They're not backing down.
They are not scared of what Arkansas can do, even if they have a number one by their name, because you know what? We've gone up against tough teams. We've gone up against tough teams at home, and granted, they didn't entirely go our way, but Tennessee showed right then and there that they're not afraid, and I think that's a really good place to be.
So the starting lineup has been put out, and no surprise, Pavlone is not expected to play tonight.
Bummer.
Not listed, and Cheese Dallas. will be taking the mound.
Hey, few better nicknames out there than Cheese.
I got that. We need
Dallas.
To ask Coach Vitello.
And then when you're at the stadium while he's pitching, if he gets a strikeout, the PA announcer goes, "And that's another K for queso." As he
what?
Really?
I missed that. Well, I guess we were at Frank. I've just missed that.
Yeah.
That's another K for queso.
Yep. That's what the PA announcer says every time he strikes someone.
Wow.
Out.
Quality work by our PA announcer. I don't know who it is, but I'll give you a shout out if I do find it out, because that's a pretty good line. All right, we're going to get into our own picks right here on the drive. By the way, maybe we should have gotten Russell's 3-game picks as well. But either way.
Bear, call him real quick.
He's not going to answer.
I know.
He's sipping a Mai Tai on the beach.
Peyton has arrived at the stadium. He's there.
We have visual proof. No?
In a great looking orange and white check shirt. Looking good.
Oh, my. We're getting close. Less than an hour away. Looking at the D1Baseball.com staff picks. They got 9 guys who made their pick. One of them, our guy looks like Shotgun Spratling. If there's anybody who picks Tennessee out of 9 guys, I would want it to be the guy named Shotgun Spratling. But everybody else picking Arkansas.
That's not surprising.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Who cares? What do they know? Okay, they're very smart people. But I think that Tennessee has a pretty darn good chance to win. All right, guys, let's do it. How are you feeling about the game? How are you feeling about the series? What do you think happens tonight, and how does Tennessee win?
I've got us winning tonight, 9-5, losing tomorrow, and then
like
winning the series
score,
on Sunday afternoon.
That 9-5 sounds like it could happen. I really like that. Okay, say that one more time, Bear. I got caught on the 9-5.
9-5 tonight.
Okay.
I think we'll probably drop one tomorrow.
Okay.
And then we'll win the series on Sunday afternoon.
Okay. Okay. So you're saying a series win for the Big Orange?
Yeah. I think we're going to win the series. I don't think we're going to sweep. They're too good for that. But I think that if we play our game and play hard, take care of business, we can win this. This series is winnable.
Yeah, I think so too, and we've talked about it all the way through. All right, GP3, what about you, my man?
I think we take the series too, but I'm having us take the first 2 games. We'll end up dropping the Sunday game. I think we'll take the first 2 games. Arkansas might get into panic mode and then really turn it on for the Sunday game, and they'll take that. Tonight, I had us scoring 9 runs too, but I had Arkansas at 3 for some reason. I think Dallas is just going to pitch a gem, and our bats will come alive. So 9-3 tonight, maybe a close one tomorrow, more of a shootout. We'll go 11-10.
Okay.
And then Sunday we'll drop that one, just say 9-4.
Are you panicking if we drop tonight's game?
No, I will only panic if we lose the first 2.
Yeah, and I think that's how the sentiment went around the Vanderbilt series. People weren't hitting the panic button. And again, we have come a long way since that series alone, but people weren't panicking. There was a level of bummed out, and there was a level of sadness, I think, that went around it. But we know that Tennessee came back and had a great game in the next one.
The thing you got to understand about baseball, like if you don't follow it a lot, is even the best teams still lose 55 games a year in the MLB. So it doesn't matter how good you are, you're going to lose. It's not like in football or basketball where you can go undefeated or win 90% of your games. That's just not possible in baseball. So losing one isn't going to put me down or anything like that. And it shouldn't anybody else either. It's baseball. You can't win them all, but a sweep sure would be nice.
Well said. Very well said. You know, a lot of people are drawing back to the Vanderbilt series as kind of an eye test for this one. 2 completely different teams. Right, when you're looking at the 2 teams that Tennessee is hosting in a top-5 matchup, that was a team that was built solely, well, I don't want to say solely, I feel like that's disrespectful a little bit, but mainly upon their starting pitching. And frankly, we saw that was a little bit of Tennessee's downfall, especially in that Friday game. They could just never get the bats working. Without Arkansas having their starting pitching as the big thing that they're bringing into the series, that actually makes me feel pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. Because again, I believe in Tennessee's offense very much. And I believe in their starting rotation that they've been putting out there so far right now with Cheese, with Heflin, and with
Blade Tidwell.
There you go. All right, I'm going to go I'm going to go for a series win as well. I've really been debating on this first game on Friday because I do kind of wonder if this is when just a really good team can come out and drop a good game. But there is so much going into this game with the atmosphere, with the environment, with the fans. The fans are going to be wild, absolutely wild tonight. I can't see any other way that they wouldn't be. So I'll say that. I'll say that Tennessee wins today. Let's go by a score of 5-3. Okay, I feel pretty good about that. All right, let's move on. Now we're going Saturday. How do I feel about Saturday? How should we feel about Saturday? You know what I don't like? I hate how both our Saturday and Sunday games are right there smack dab at high noon.
Yeah.
High noon one-ish. I think that stinks. One of them should have been a little bit of a later game. But either way, guys, I say Tennessee pulls out a victory. I'll say they win on Friday and Sunday. Drop the game on Saturday. But either way, man, I think we can come back on Monday, and I think we can really talk about how successful the series was, regardless if Tennessee wins or not. You know, hopefully there's going to be something to talk about if Tennessee only can pick up one game. But hopefully it is a situation like where it is big enough of a win to carry more than a little bit, you know, to have a little bit more weight, I should say.
Yeah. And I can't remember who said it on Twitter. I wish I could give them credit. I saw this after we beat Vanderbilt on that Saturday game. There is no feeling like when you are a top five team, you're one of the best teams in the league, and you beat another team that is also a top five team. There's no better feeling than just knowing you are a great team, playing another great team, and beating them. It's better than being a bad team and beating a good team. It's just two greats going head-to-head, toe-to-toe, and you come out on top.
It's all you asked for, right? We've been asking for that for a long time here in Knoxville. I think a lot of it obviously wanted it in football first, but we've been asking for this. We've been waiting for it. We know how this city reacted to that other top five matchup. And as we said at the beginning of the show today, there are so many reasons why this series has trampled over that last series in terms of importance. With everything on the line, which remember, Tennessee or Arkansas could come out of this series with the SEC lead. Vanderbilt's still right next to them too, but they're going to have to do a little bit more as they lost one game got canceled last weekend on their Sunday game. Either way, there's so many things on the line. You got the SEC lead. You have the attendance being there. You have one of the greats in Peyton throwing out the first pitch. And I actually did get a little bit of confirmation, GP. It says here, according to utsports.com, every seat in the grandstands today will include a jersey featuring either a throwback VFL t-shirt jersey design or the fan favorite cream Vols t-shirt jersey. Friday's pregame festivities will also feature a pig roast and a pulled pork sandwich giveaway. If you're on your way to the stadium right now,
what the hell's a shirt?
Get there early. It's a shirt jersey.
It's what I'm wearing right now. Basically.
Exactly. He's got the player on the back.
Who's on the back?
This is a Brave shirt, so it's got a Cunha on the back.
Cunha.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I do have a jersey. I got an Aaron Judge jersey. New York Yankees.
It's a funny word.
Yeah. The Judge. You're familiar with him. All Rise.
Yeah, I know who Aaron Judge is. Yeah.
Best player in Major League Baseball.
Not even the best player on the Yankees.
No, what the hell ever. Mike Trout is in the league. You're crazy. Crazy. Guys, it's about that time.
Yeah.
It is about that time. Yeah.
I am ready for the weekend.
I feel like we have exhausted every single route that we could go through with this baseball game today. Hopefully, people are making their way over to the stadium right now. I wish we had a man on the ground like Buster was earlier. Yeah. We get a little bit of an idea about how.
Should have gotten old Buster to call back in.
Yeah, we should have told him, hey, just save your call for 2 hours. But hopefully maybe people got to hear his call at the beginning of the show today as we get ready, man. As the people file into the stadium, as they go to find their seats, our own Logan Quinton's going to be there. Go find him. He said he was going to be on the first base sideline. Go give him a wave and say hello to him. But, man, enjoy the game this weekend. If you're going there, enjoy the hell out of it. Make as much noise as you possibly can. Say some vulgar but appropriate things to the other team. A little bit of legends of Lindsey Nelson style as we get ready to take care of business. Gentlemen, I think that about wraps it up for the day. I think it does. Hey, thank you for everything, guys. Wonderful stuff today. I feel like we feel like we powered through that thing.
Yeah, I ran out of gas about an hour ago. I don't know if you guys noticed that. I'm on fumes. By Friday, after 5 days of what I'm doing, honest to God, I'll probably be asleep by the fourth inning tonight.
Hey,
I got a bit super
a long
early. I've had a really long week.
So for you, it's good that we'll have some high noon games throughout the weekend.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited. Update everybody real quick. I'm entering the last week. Next week is my last round of the chemo, and I'm almost done. And then I'm going to get some time off and going to rest up, and then it's on to the next step, which will hopefully be the final step, and then I'll be good to go. But I wanted to again thank everybody for all their thoughts and prayers. It's really got me. I can't believe I'm at the end of the first part of it.
I can't either.
It's
amazing.
Like, I really was just thought of, I mean, you remember, I thought it was going to be insurmountable, and made it through it mainly due to, you know, my buddies here, folks at my other job, and then just all the, you know, the listeners and well wishes and people. But I am going to rest up this weekend and get ready to finish strong. So,
Bear, you are an inspiration to the millions and millions of people around the city and around the world. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us today for these 3 hours. Go and enjoy the hell out of this baseball game as we get a couple of big wins. We'll see you Monday.
The Drive.
Are you in a financial hole?